This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
So, if you look at the biggest artificial intelligence companies in the world right now, they aren't just writing code anymore. I mean, they're pouring billions of dollars into concrete, steel, and, you know, copper wire.
Yeah, the digital revolution is literally running out of physical space.
Right. It's wild. So, whether you are a curious learner, or maybe you're prepping for a huge strategy meeting this afternoon, or you are honestly just trying not to drown in the sheer velocity of information overload right now.
Which is all of us, really.
Exactly. Well, today's deep dive is going to give you a massive shortcut to understanding the current AI landscape. We're going to cut through all the hype and look at the actual physical tracks beneath the digital magic.
Because the bottleneck, you know, it isn't just about who has the smartest algorithms anymore. It's really about who can physically power them.
Yeah. And our map for navigating all this today comes from a super detailed AI daily briefing report. This is from July 2026.
This is a great report.
It really is. And this fascinating report was provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim. It basically outlines three massive tectonic shifts happening right now, like where the unprecedented billions are actually flowing, a really surprising twist in the U.S. versus China AI race, and a rapidly fragmenting global rulebook.
Which is a lot to cover.
Right. So, okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the capital. Because if you want to understand where tech is heading, you follow the money. And right now, I mean, the money's aggressively pivoting away from pure software and into physical infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely. We are seeing capital flows that, honestly, they just defy historical precedent. The scale of this investment phase is fundamentally reshaping the whole global tech economy.
Yeah, to put some numbers to that, global venture funding for just the first half of 2026, so just 6 months, hit an astounding $510 billion.
Well, it's just staggering.
Right. It crushes the entire annual total of 2025. That was only $440 billion. So in half the time, the market absorbed way more capital than all of last year.
And we should point out where that's going, because 88% of that AI funding.
Yeah, which is like $319 billion.
Right. It went straight to the U.S. And it is heavily, heavily concentrated on the giants, you know, OpenAI and Anthropic.
But the detail from former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim's report that really stands out to me isn't a software lab. It's a company called Crusoe.
Oh, yeah. Crusoe is the perfect indicator of this whole industry-wide shift. I mean, they are a physical infrastructure company.
Right. They are currently negotiating a $3 billion funding round at a $30 billion valuation.
Yeah.
Which is triple their valuation from just last October.
Triple in under a year.
Insane. And their main business, they literally just build data centers for Meta, Oracle, and OpenAI. It's like the gold rush, you know? But instead of investing in the miners, the smart money is pouring into the folks selling the pickaxes, the data centers. But I do have to push back here for a second.
Okay, go for it.
Because for the last 20 years, we've been told that software is eating the world.
Right.
The whole point of a tech company is high margins and a super low physical footprint.
Right, the asset light model.
Exactly. So why can't these brilliant labs just, I don't know, optimize their code? Why is capital suddenly so obsessed with pouring billions into physical buildings?
Well, what's fascinating here is that it comes down to the unforgiving laws of physics. AI is just no longer a purely digital endeavor. You have two phases in AI, right? Training the model and then running inference.
And inference is when you actually use it.
Exactly. Inference is the actual processing power required every single time a user types a prompt or asks a question. And we have reached a point where the algorithms are incredibly advanced, sure, but they are incredibly power hungry.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, running inference for hundreds of millions of daily users, I mean, it requires a staggering amount of compute.
And you obviously can't just run that on a standard laptop processor.
No, not at all. Compute requires highly specialized chips. Those chips have to be housed in massive servers. Those servers need to be stacked in warehouse-sized data centers.
Yeah.
And all of that generates heat. So that requires phenomenal amounts of electricity and, you know, industrial cooling systems. You just cannot write a clever line of code to bypass the thermal limits of a microchip.
Wow. Okay, that makes sense.
Without this massive physical build-out, and I mean literally securing land, water rights for cooling, gigawatts of power from the grid, the next generation of frontier models simply cannot exist.
So the investors are looking at the landscape and realizing, hey, the companies controlling the physical layer, the data centers, the energy grids, they're going to hold the keys to the entire ecosystem.
Precisely. The leverage has moved. It moved from the software developer right to the infrastructure provider.
Which sets up a really fascinating paradox. Because if the U.S. is hoarding 88% of the funding and they have the biggest infrastructure buildouts for companies like OpenAI, you would naturally assume the U.S. is completely dominating the global usage war.
Right.
You would think so, yeah.
But the report shows this massive plot twist. The usage metrics tell a fundamentally different story.
They really do.
According to the briefing, China's open weight models have actually overtaken the U.S. in weekly API calls. And they have held that lead for multiple weeks now.
Yeah, this is a huge shift.
Just to be specific, Alibaba's Qwen 3.6 Plus is currently sitting at number one on OpenRouter, which, for those who might not know, is a popular platform that acts as a hub for developers to route requests to various models. The report notes this specific Chinese model processed a staggering 4.6 trillion tokens in a single week.
I mean, 4.6 trillion tokens is just an astronomical volume of real-world interaction, and the key term you use there is open weight.
Right, so let's quickly define that for a listener. Open weight basically means the underlying architecture and the mathematical weights of the model are accessible.
Right.
Developers can download them, modify them locally.
Yeah, rather than just renting access through a closed proprietary interface like you have to do with ChatGPT.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting, because that accessibility is proving to be a massive advantage. While China is pushing immense volume through these open models, the top U.S. models are seemingly bottlenecked right at the starting line.
Yeah, the report lays out the status of the U.S. frontier models perfectly. I mean, Anthropic's Claude Sonnet 5 has become the new default for a lot of users. But look at the others.
Yeah, it's wild. OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Sol is delayed to mid-July because it's stuck in government pre-approval gates.
Right.
And Google's Gemini 3.5 Pro, which, you know, boasts this incredible 2 million token context window, meaning it can hold entire libraries of text in its short-term memory at once. It's just sitting there. It's waiting for quality calibration before public release.
Meanwhile, China's DeepSeek V4 is launching in mid-July, and they're bringing in these highly innovative pricing structures. I mean, they are introducing peak and off-peak API pricing.
Wait, really? Like paying less for electricity if you run your dishwasher at 2 a.m.?
Exactly like that. They are treating AI compute like a true public utility.
That is so smart. Mm. But I'm trying to wrap my head around this strategy. Why would Chinese companies pour all this money into building state-of-the-art models just to give the weights away for free while the U.S. companies are, you know, guarding theirs like state secrets?
Well, if you look at lawyer Kim Jin Kim's commentary in the report, the pattern really becomes clear. The strategy is to commoditize the model itself to capture the developer ecosystem.
Okay. Unpack that a bit.
Think of it like giving someone the complete detailed blueprints to a commercial kitchen. Sure, they can build the kitchen themselves, but they are still going to buy the ingredients, the appliances, the delivery infrastructure from you.
Oh, I see.
The absolute best closed models in the U.S. are currently bogged down in red tape. So while they wait, these cheaper open models are rapidly expanding the base of real-world usage. They are becoming the default foundation.
Because developers don't necessarily need an AI that can solve quantum physics just to automate their customer service emails, right? They just need something that is cheap and fast.
Exactly. Accessibility is currently beating absolute capability.
So why are the top U.S. models stuck in so much red tape? I mean, why not just release them?
Well, it's because the global rulebook is splintering into three very different directions.
Yeah, the regulatory splitternet.
Exactly. Now, before we get into the specifics here, especially on the U.S. side, I want to be super clear with you listening. We are going to talk about recent actions from Donald Trump and the Supreme Court. We are neutrally reporting the contents of the report here. We are not endorsing any political viewpoints, left wing or right wing.
Right.
We are simply conveying the facts from the original source material to understand the business landscape.
And it is essential to look at this objectively because for an AI developer today, policy changes are just as impactful as a new microchip.
Totally. So looking at the U.S., the White House is currently finalizing voluntary frontier model standards based on a June 2nd executive order from Donald Trump. It requires companies to give the government up to 30 days of access before a model is released.
Though the report explicitly notes it is not a mandatory licensing scheme. Right, it's voluntary. But even a voluntary 30-day hold in software development is massive, isn't it?
Oh, 30 days in the AI world is a lifetime. In traditional software, you ship the product the second it is ready. If you have to pause for a 30-day government review, your competitors could easily leapfrog you. It fundamentally breaks the agile launch cycle.
And the U.S. legal landscape gets even more complicated. The Federal Trade Commission has a new AI accuracy policy statement, with comments closing on July 31st. But that is actively clashing with state laws, like the ones in Colorado.
Right, the state versus federal clash.
Yeah, and happening right at the same time, the Supreme Court just overturned the Humphrey precedent, which shakes up presidential power over agencies like the FTC.
Which means the rules governing AI could rapidly change depending on executive power, stripping away that long-term stability investors want.
Exactly. And then you look across the Atlantic to the European Union. The EU AI Act takes effect on August 2nd, which is just 27 days away.
27 days.
Yeah, and it introduces severe enforcement over general-purpose AI. Strict watermarking rules and massive fines. We are talking 15 million euros or 3% of global revenue, whichever is higher.
3% of global revenue isn't just a slap on the wrist. I mean, it is an existential threat designed to force absolute compliance.
And then you have China's approach, which is entirely different again. On July 15th, they launched fascinating interim measures specifically targeting AI companions.
The emotional chatbots.
Right. And the requirements are wild. They mandate dynamic IDs, strict two-hour daily usage limits, and they require extreme emergency responses, along with a mandatory one-click shutdown button.
Wow.
Yeah. So what does this all mean? It's like asking a developer to build a car that has to be a heavily inspected prototype in the U.S., an armored tank in Europe, and a therapist with a strict stopwatch in China.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, as former lawmaker Kinjin Kim points out, regulatory compliance is now just as critical as coding. He highlights this concept of the regulatory calendar.
The regulatory calendar.
Yeah. Companies must now constantly monitor these dates. July 15th in China, July 31st for the FTC, August 2nd for the EU. You can't just follow your internal product roadmap anymore.
You're navigating a geopolitical minefield. But let's bring it all back to you, the listener. With all this high-level chaos, how are professionals actually using AI on the ground today?
Well, despite the red tape, the tools themselves are still evolving, but they're becoming much more specialized.
Right. The report highlights some crazy practical leaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anthropic just launched the Claude Science Beta. It's an internal workflow product specifically for drug discovery with over 60 tools and reproducible audit trails.
Which is huge for regulated industries. You have to be able to prove the AI's chain of logic.
Exactly. And then Claude Code can now natively control your Chrome browser, auto-commit and push code, even draft PRs.
It's doing the actual workflow now.
Yeah. And speaking of workflows, I want to eagerly share this brilliant one for automating contract reviews, straight from lawyer Kinjin Kim's commentary. It's designed to eliminate human variance.
Oh, this is a masterclass in managing the unpredictability of these models.
Right. So here are the steps. Step one, write all of your review rules in one single master file. Step two, register it as a reusable skill in Claude or ChatGPT.
So everyone on the team runs the exact same baseline.
Exactly. Step three, ask the model for issues and exceptions first, before starting the actual line-by-line review.
By doing that, you anchor its logic. You force it to state its understanding of the context so it doesn't hallucinate later.
Squat on. And then step four, use one model to map out the issues and swap to a completely different model to write the red line edits.
This raises an important question, though, and this leans into lawyer Kunjin Kim's final commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if models can just be swapped out like light bulbs in these workflows, model A for mapping, model B for editing, the model itself isn't the competitive advantage anymore.
It's just a commodity.
Exactly. The real moat isn't the code. It's human experience, trust, and the unique data you bring to the problem.
Wow. Okay, let's quickly recap this journey we've been on.
Yeah.
We've followed the billions into physical data centers. We watched open weight models flip the usage script. We navigated a completely fragmented global regulatory maze. And we learned how to build model agnostic workflows.
But I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. If AI models are just becoming these easily swappable commodities regulated heavily by different nations, and if the real moat is data and trust,
yeah,
will the most powerful AI companies of the 2030s actually be traditional non-tech companies?
Yeah.
You know, legacy corporations that just happen to sit on decades of proprietary physical world data that literally no one else has.
Oh, wow. So the non-tech companies might ultimately win the AI race. That is a fascinating thought to end on. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep questioning the world around you, and we will catch you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.